welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
We're discussing the film Confidential Informant, which has one nomination, Worst Supporting Actor for Mel Gibson. Confidential Informant is a thriller film. It's about two kind of cops who work with confidential informants, and they come up with a plan. One of them is dying of cancer, and their confidential informant is dying of AIDS. And because they're both going to die, and the guy who has cancer realises that if he dies, he'll leave his family with loads of debt, because America, woo, that the only way he can provide for his family is actually to be killed in the line of duty, because then they'll get a payout for the death, then his life insurance policy on top of that, and then a widow's pension on top of that, which is obviously great, but how fucked is America that if you die, your family is saddled with the debt of your death? That's just that's very aggressive. So that goes a bit wrong, though. It happens, and then there is an internal investigations guy that's going after them because he thinks he doesn't know what the wrongdoing has been, but he knows something was done wrong, and he was like a dog with a bone and won't let it go.
Foul play. He's suspicious.
Yes, very Shakespearean of you there.
He despises.
Very Shakespearean. And then Pumpkin's just like...
Did you like this pumpkin?
Oh,
he's loafing.
He's live, love, loaf.
Live, love.
I now can't say live, love, love. I can say live, love, loaf. And then Mel Gibson's purpose in all of this is he's in a handful of scenes. I think he's playing like the chief of the police. He's just kind of an overseer and, yeah, doing all that stuff.
This one was really weird. It's clearly another very, very low budget film. We previously discussed Johnny and Clyde. This is,
I didn't
if it wasn't
think
produced,
this was Johnny and Clyde level. I thought this was Mercy level.
Yes, that's true. If it wasn't produced by Saban Films, I would assume it was produced by Saban Films, which we both are very familiar with from our Bruce Camp days.
2021, baby.
Yeah, there was a hell of... Because it wasn't even just them. It was also another Mel Gibson one, I think, at that time.
But they're probably the only people that will hire Mel Gibson.
This is it. So this is a definitely like a VOD kind of...
Felt like it could have been... TV episode or a very special episode or something.
Yeah. But again, it is the context of these, I can't think of the word, but the outlaw kind of productions that will still hire racist, anti-Semitic people. So they don't have huge budgets. Most of their budget goes on hiring said racist person. Said racist person isn't the worst thing in it.
interested about that.
But for me, it starts off quite bad. Like the quality is pretty poor. It isn't helped by the fact that I did have to torrent this one because I couldn't get it anywhere.
Oh, whereas I have a VPN and watched it on Tubi.
Never mind. But eventually I did find a stream that had a 1080 thing. But then there was a bit where it was just like the frames were going back and forth, so that they were doing this. Anyway, it was just the acting from the guy that had cancer, the character that had cancer. What is his name? I think he's the one in Prison Break, no?
Yeah, he's from Prison Break and Legends of Tomorrow, and you're about to break my heart. Dominic Purcell.
He was fucking awful.
Oh, no. I have a massive soft spot for him because I watched DC's Legends of Tomorrow, in which he was one of the main characters, and he goes from Grunty McGrunterson. It was actually him and the other guy from Prison Break were in an episode of The Flash, as villains together, and then they were really popular, so they kept bringing them back for like the Flash and things. So then when they did the spin-off of Legends of Tomorrow, they put them into that. So it's like it's really cute, and so he stuck around for nearly the whole show, and he goes from like Grunty McGruntison to like the absolute biggest softy heart of gold. So like, I think for me, he was, his name was Mick in that, I think. I think for me, he was Mick. I didn't really know who this guy was in this film, but because I've spent 5 seasons with him on a spaceship, watching him grow, and watching him as an actor also be more willing to go with the hijinks, it gets very hijinksy. And people really, I fell in love with it when it went hijinksy, but a lot of people were really pissed off because they're like, it went too far, it's not even a proper show anymore. And you could see he was really kind of struggling with it for ages, and then he did embrace it, and it was really nice.
Just let loose.
And so yeah, I was really happy with him in this, because it was exactly what I would expect from him. Seeing him in it, I knew exactly what level I was going to get, and that's what I was going to get.
So I knew who he was, but I've not seen him in anything that I can recall. I just felt like, and because of that, I felt like maybe I had a higher standard or expectation of what he would be like. But I don't think it's completely his fault, because the dialogue is pretty shoddy. The direction wouldn't have helped. Like, I just think
the direction and editing was quite poor in this.
And just like, some of the production was so cheap. It looked awful. Like, the strip club was just,
Why was the strip club there? The minute I see a film where they're like, "Gonna go to the strip club so you can see how damaged I am," I'm like, no, we've gone to the strip club because the director so wants to see naked ladies.
Yeah. So there's that. We don't need to unpack that any further. That's been unpacked. Just some of the line reading, especially when he's with his kid, it was laughable.
That kid was giving me nothing. That kid did not want to be there. That kid looked terrified.
Also, what has Kate Bosworth done wrong to be in these kinds of films now?
You know what she's doing with her personal life, right?
No, what?
Her and Justin Long fell in love. And they're engaged.
Oh, did they?
And aww. They are, honestly, if you want just some nice wholesomeness, just do an Instagram deep dive of Justin Long and Kate Bosworth. Okay. It is the sweet... They are so in love. Like, I've always been a fan of his. I've not really been a fan of hers. I've not really followed her. But I guess somehow they just had never met, even though you would have assumed they would have been in a lot of the same...
Yeah, because the time frame of their careers would have been similar, right?
But they met on a kind of low-budget indie film a couple of years ago that they filmed together and then just fell in love. Right. And they are...
That's very sweet.
Adorable. I think she does a lot of films kind of in this ilk, because she just never really managed to...
To break it.
Yeah.
Big. Make it big, sorry. Fair enough. I was a bit worried that maybe she'd said something uncouth.
I mean, she might have done, but the internet love her and Justin Long, so I don't know if she has done.
Okay. So that didn't work for me. And then all of a sudden, when the story reveals itself, I'm like, this is really interesting.
It's a very compelling idea. So I was really torn on the whole film, because
Me too.
It's not a very good film, but it is a really interesting story, but the execution doesn't work.
It's shoddy.
Yeah.
But the middle of it, I was able to see past it, and I do think it kind of got into a bit of a groove. Yeah. So once, and even with the shooting of the thing with low budget stuff is you have to be really creative to make it look special sometimes. It's very clear when you've only got a few locations. It's very clear when you're like being very by the books shooting and you haven't got a lot to play with. The shooting wasn't extremely thrilling. It wasn't shot in a way that was extremely thrilling. However, after that, because it's not really trying to go past its, you know, like with the strip club, right? It's like you didn't have the means to make that happen. You've tried and it looks bad. You should have told that part of the story in a different way within your means. But I think because the story goes to a place where you don't need a lot, it's mainly the characters, and the acting was serviceable in those moments. I think between the partner and the
internal
cop who's like,
the
internal affairs, it was okay. So it's almost as if like, now I know the story, this is okay, it's definitely not as bad as it was at the beginning. I was like, do I like this? Do I like this? And then you get to the end with a scene with Mel Gibson.
His little fucking diatribe.
The what? What does that mean?
Like when he just went off on about America will not be what it is today if we didn't have cops on the streets. Cops are the greatest thing.
And then they did like a Dutch angle as he walked away clearly down a fake street. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's why I hated
it. Yeah. I was a bit like, what is this film trying to say? Because also, the internal affairs guy is a black guy, and so he's obsessed with trying to get these bent cops held to account. Because in Venice, the two cops at the centre of it have broken the rules, where we learn all the rules they broke were for the benefit of society and to help out people in terrible situations. But in fairness, they have broken the rules, and so the internal affairs guy isn't doing anything wrong by trying to hold them to account for the laws that they are meant to abide.
But he's made out to be the villain.
Yeah, and I was a bit torn because I was like, I thought for ages in the film that what it was trying to tell me is that the American system is awful, healthcare's awful, that debt collectors, health insurance, all of that shit, that the police do not look after their own, like, and they're vets, I think, as well, aren't they? Like, war vets.
I think so.
Yeah, so that tells you also that, like, we know that the American army or whatever it is, the military do not support their people when they come back from war. That's been now. So I thought it was trying to show me what an absolute mess of a society America is and how tragic this is, that the only way for a loving father and husband to provide for his family is to basically kill himself. And I was like, that is so sad. And then all of a sudden then you get this big diatribe with Mel Gibson where the internal affairs guy has found everything out and he realises that Mel Gibson knew, and he was like, is that why you wanted me to drop it? And then they have this big like ethical debate about whether or not it was right for them to break the rules, which it kind of was. But then he goes in this thing about, because he's like, but they're bent cops and we need good cops, we need people who aren't going to break the rules, how can we trust that they're doing the right thing if they do wrong? And then he's like, bent cops are the best of us, blah blah blah, blah. America's the best thing about America is the cops that won't stop at nothing. And I was like, oh,
freedom.
I was like, oh no.
Didn't he start quoting the Constitution at some point?
Probably. I at that point I was up the top of my wardrobe pulling jigsaws down. I was like, no thank you.
Yeah, I think this is probably the one where I was torn so much about, and I'm not saying that my rating would have gone positive, but I was torn between absolutely despising it to kind of going, but I really love that one part. Yeah. I think it's so compelling, so interesting. And in the middle, the worst bits of it weren't as apparent. And I don't know if it's because I had those rose-tinted glasses on or they did get a bit better. I think there was a bit of both. But when it concluded, you're reminded like, oh wait, this isn't it. This isn't what we, you know, and like you said, which you just explained with like the meaning and the message, it's just a bit, it just doesn't stick the landing. It kind of just, it's almost as if they didn't realize the potential that they actually had.
Or we don't know if the original script was great and kept getting passed around and shortened and messed up, and I don't know. It's either a script that needed more polishing or it's a script that got pared down.
It's a shame that it wasn't a script that was found by the right people to punch up, get good crew involved, get a bit of budget. But that being said, like, it's good to have different kinds of budgets. It's good for people to be working at different levels. Not so good to be employing certain people, but is life. Some people still need to survive and get paid. So if other people are happy with previous stipulations, then so be it. But it's just, it's so bad in some places that it can't ever be a neutral film.
Which way I found it fairly neutral, but that bit did make me just go, ugh. But I think that's my thing for me, on that there's so much promise in this, and it's such, because I like a story where it's like, you know, it's the whole concept of fucking Breaking Bad, isn't it? He becomes a drug lord because he can't pay for his medical insurance. It's really fascinating, especially from people that aren't in that culture. the thing with Mel Gibson is I actually did think he was really bad in this because most of his scenes are in a completely different set.
But completely that's what happened by last himself, time.
And it's what happened last time. And I'm just like, oh, you're just being Mel Gibson. You're not acting here.
True.
You are just being Mel Gibson because you know that you're the highest paid actor on this set. And you know if you demand it, you can film all your scenes in one day and you don't have to make any effort. I think it was an effortless performance and not in a good way.
Okay, so it's like lazy. And because of that, it's not good because we should expect more at this point. I think just because of the way that the film was constructed.
I hated this construction. I hated the voiceovers that sometimes were there and sometimes weren't and kept
it
switching between different...
It just massively cheapens everything.
Yeah. And I was like, did some of it not make sense? But then it confused me because the voiceovers kept changing. So I was like, whose voiceover is it?
Between different people. It's just, again, it's not quite understood what its language is.
Yeah.
And I think Mel Gibson was just Mel Gibson. And I feel like it was less... egregious than previous examples of Mel Gibson in a room for a day that
very
we've seen
true,
and maybe
true.
That's why
and a really interesting concept. I'd love it's probably been done before. I just don't really watch a lot of procedurals
maybe people can recommend us some good.
I love that. I feel like when we did Mercy I was like, I love a procedural, and now I'm like, I actually don't. I watch a lot of medical procedurals. Watch a lot of hospital drama. I do not watch a lot of police drama because I am a bit, you know, ACAB, you know.
Yeah.
And also just don't like guns. I really, really don't like guns, and a lot of police stuff is shooting. So.
I do find myself whenever I watch something with a gun in, I'm like, think about evolution, and I'm like, why have we done this to ourselves? Why have we created something that can take life away in an instant? I don't know.
And for the answer to that, everyone should watch Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer.
Oh, I do love a segue to recommend an Oppenheimer. Who would have thought it would have been in this episode?
In this episode and by me.
Again, it's only got one nomination. It's clearly very low budget. So there is parameters in which we judge it. Again, it's almost as if why have people seen this? But it's a specific demographic. People still love Mel Gibson.
Or love to hate him.
Yeah, that too.
I think based on my family that I know that watch a lot of movies, they specifically always go to the action section. So they have like a dodgy box. Mm. And whenever they're looking for a movie, they're like, will not watch a romance, will not watch a musical. They're kind of picky on their comedies, so they go straight to action thriller. And
they know what they're going
to
get.
And they do not like to watch a film that they've seen before either. They don't like rewatches. So when you are only watching a handful of genres and you only want to watch a new release...
These are the dregs you'll accept.
Yeah. And when you see someone like Mel Gibson on the poster and you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, you're going to be like, okay.
Yeah. And that's fine. People like them. So this is more, it's got moments of Johnny and Clyde level badness. The story is more compelling than Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But Mercy is shot the best.
Yeah.
And I think is the most comprehensive and close to a film out of them all. But I really, really love the concept here. Mm-hmm. So if anyone has any recommendations of things that explore that, mm-hmm. Other than Breaking Bad, because we just mentioned that, I think we both watched that multiple times. I was quite surprised by that. And I was really like, what do I like it? Do I hate it? What is going on?
Yeah.
A very Marmite moment.
Yeah, a really, really good idea, just not with the right level of execution. And, you know, but at least they tried. And actually, it was a comprehensible film with some bright moments. So you know what? Fuck it. Good for the people involved. I've seen far worse from far better.
It's almost as if I'll always value a thought about and... concept and story where there's clearly some passion and interest behind it, rather than like, let's serve up the slop. mm-hmm. for the pigs in the farm, aka the cinema goers. Yeah. Like, it just, there's a level of respect for the craft, maybe not craft, but yeah. it's a level of respect for the art form and entertainment, mm-hmm. and they are making movies because they love movies, yeah. whether they're good at it or not. Yeah. Whereas we all know, we've all discussed about the current setup of the studios in Hollywood, those people don't love movies, mm-hmm. and you can tell.
They love the money.
Money, money, money.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie-nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.